Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, I'm Scott Soshman.
And I'm Evan Novi Williams, and this is the Double Deuce Sports Business Podcast, The Sportacast.
All right, does that mean you've been reading up on cornhole, Evan? Is that what that means?
I have played a little bit of cornhole in my life, yes. We called it bago, though, in college, and I don't know if that's a regional thing, Stacy. You may be able to tell me, but I have played quite a bit of this game in my days.
Yeah, I think the original bago was played on, like, small plastic boards. I think there was an actual version of cornhole called bago.
Hold on. First, let's tell everybody that's Stacy Moore, the commissioner of the American Cornhole League. And I got to tell you, Stacy, when I think of cornhole, when I think of college campuses, you know, Eben's like, oh, when we played in college, I'm not thinking of Princeton University. Nothing against Princeton, Eben, and you and your pals and your reunions and all the stuff that you have. But this is not, I mean, Ivy League is not what comes to mind when I think about cornhole. Stacy, is that a mistake? Is that just me and my biases? Because I know a lot of people play, and it's, you know, it's popular everywhere. But is that just my bias, or does your data back that up?
I think they actually play cornhole at Princeton as well. I think they play cornhole everywhere. So they might not be as good as the ACC and Southeastern Conference schools, but we do have John Thompson as one of our investors, as well as Jim Simmons. So we actually have Princeton ties here at the ACL.
Eben, you know Jim. We know Jim very well. He came to our Super Bowl event. So, you know, did you talk cornhole?
We did. We talked a little cornhole. We talked a little pickleball as well. Jim's a really interesting guy with a really interesting kind of diverse portfolio. And obviously, I know JT as well. Yeah, great. See, this is it, Scott. You're making fun of Princeton as a cornhole power, but you know, in the financing side, we're doing great.
So Stacy, help me out here. You mentioned those two investors. You went out, raised some money. Who do you target? You know, what's the pitch deck look like? Give me the elevator pitch for come on in on cornhole.
Yeah, actually, I was fortunate that I didn't have to create a pitch deck and go out seeking funding. I had, when people saw us on ESPN during the pandemic, I think that really opened up a lot of eyes in the financial world to say, hey, you know, it's been on ESPN the past couple of years, but now we've seen it 7 weeks in a row on ESPN, and this is pretty cool and a real thing. So I had several different groups reaching out to me, and Jim and John were one of them, and went through a process with two of them pretty deep, and decided that they were the best fit for me and where I wanted to take this sport.
There were a handful of sports that I would argue during the pandemic, just because of the timing of other things coming back, the dearth of programming on stations like ESPN, that I think really benefited from getting exposure in that time when a lot of leagues weren't happening. Do you look back on it as that way for the Cornhole League as well, that the opportunity to reach a lot more people at a time when other leagues that otherwise would have been operating were not really helped from a commercial standpoint, sell both to investors and also to fans as well?
Yeah, we were just in a really fortunate spot. I mean, we already had a long-term agreement with ESPN and we had a pretty good cadence going on. But when we were able to take advantage of the opportunity and ESPN was saying, hey, we'll give you a 4-hour window on the main network 7 weeks in a row during the pandemic, right? We weren't going to have that kind of opportunity with all the other sports that they carry. So that certainly, I think it just accelerated, you know, our path to get some funding. We actually weren't even looking for funding at the time. We were still bootstrapping the sport and growing it. Fortunately, we had some great sponsors like Johnsonville and Bush's and On Board. And so we were doing great on the sponsorship side. So we really didn't need capital, but we knew to get to the level that we wanted to get to make this a truly global sport, at some point in time, we were going to need to bring in some outside money. And so good to get that process started.
Evan, how polished is Stacy? We are. I'm looking at my counter here. We're 440 in. He's already named two sponsors. And I can't think of a more endemic, by the way. When I think of sponsors that fit, you know, Johnsonville Sausage and Cornhole. I mean, I'm thinking I'm out grilling. That is an endemic sponsor that just makes sense. And I know you're happy with their partnership. They're happy with yours.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been a fantastic partner. I believe we were counting up the years. I think we're on year five with Johnsonville. So it's been a great run. Coming up with our big Super Hole event on Friday on Ocho Day, they're actually rolling out a sausage tunnel for the first time for players to bust through. And we're doing some really cool new activation stuff with them around our big Super Hole event. Look for a big trophy to be unveiled as well.
We're chatting with Stacy Moore, Commissioner of the American Cornhole League. And Eben, are you like me? And we've worked together a very long time, Stacy. You know that, Eben and I. Did you just see headline by there with Sausage Tunnel?
Sausage Tunnel and Super Hole, I think, is a great name for the biggest event of the year. I think that's awesome.
For people who do not know, this is a very big week for Cornhole. And you mentioned the Ocho. And of course, that was always the joke from the movie Dodgeball. But ESPN, to their credit, they actually created a day of programming for what you would consider to be sort of offbeat sports. And it's an important date on the calendar. It has actually resonated with a lot of fans. Culminating this week, you guys are the centerpiece of Ocho on ESPN2. What does the week mean? And you've already sort of tacitly told us what the ESPN power means for you. I call it the Gary Bettman lesson, right? He left ESPN for NBC. And of course, now he sees how valuable that brand can be. Just kind of tell us how important is this week? And then on the macro level, the tie up with an outlet like ESPN that has so many tentacles in the industry.
I appreciate that. We're very early on in the ACO World Championship week, where we have seven straight days of cornhole. On the front end, for the first time, we actually put the USA Cornhole National Championship. So we crowned the USA national team to represent the U.S. Competing in other parts of the world last weekend. Now we roll into our professional league, but we also run intermediate tournaments, competitive tournaments, advanced tournaments. So we have over 2,000 players from 48 different states in Rock Hill right now playing cornhole. So it's,
well, which two states are left out? Which two states are not represented and why?
Alaska and Vermont.
I would think Vermont would have certainly. Nope, yeah. You couldn't have a team of Ben and Jerry?
I was like, can we not pay someone from Vermont to come down here so that we can have them represented? We got to figure that out. But yeah, we actually have a great contingent from Hawaii here. And in fact, one of their players, young 16-year-old, almost won the competitive bracket in singles yesterday. But yeah, we got a great group from Hawaii here in town.
Stacy, can you walk us through from a revenue standpoint, kind of what the business model is and how different it is from other leagues that I think a lot of our listeners are maybe familiar with, where ticket sales and TV are kind of the vast amount of their revenue. I imagine for you, maybe it's events, it's sponsorships, it's licensing. Walk us through the way that the Cornhole League makes money.
Yeah, so the traditional way is cornhole is a participatory sport. And so I think one of the advantages that we had, again, alongside the pandemic, is that we weren't reliant on butts in seats to make money to stay alive. We were reliant on sponsorship and audience and people being able to pay to play cornhole. With cornhole being a portable sport, we were able to set up virtual events where we could actually still charge entry fees for people to play cornhole in their own backyard to continue generating revenue that way off of participation. So we have over 350 directors around the country that use our software that run over 3,000 tournaments a year. So one of the ways we generate revenue is off our software and membership fees from people playing cornhole. Then obviously sponsorship around what we do for our national events and what we put on television is a big revenue driver. And then we've launched a really creative licensing model that I think is pretty unique in sports, where not only do we license our mark, but we license the level of equipment. So we have over 61 licensees that will put the ACL Pro, ACL Competitive, or ACL Rec stamp on their product. That way consumers know when they walk into a store what level of product that we're buying. We think it's really important that consumers know the level of equipment, that you can't walk into a Walmart and pay $60 for a set of boards and think that that's what we're using on ESPN. So to be able to distinguish things without equipment mark is not only really good for our sport, but it's also a great revenue driver for us.
So you guys are part league and part governing body, it kind of sounds like, kind of doing both of those things in various ways.
Yeah, we do more testing of equipment than anyone else out there. And we're going to continue to grow and develop the sport in a more scientific way, let's say.
I was fascinated, Stacey, the first time that you and I chatted in New York in Bryant Park. You know, it just seemed like the perfect venue where people would be out playing cornhole. But as we drilled down into the business components, I was absolutely fascinated. And there's no way the general public has an understanding of your business. Can you walk me through? So here I am. You just mentioned Walmart, one of your retailers, right? One of your partners. Can you walk me through sort of price points and what your cut is? What do you get? There are different, by the way, Edmund, if you didn't know this, there's different bags. There's like the professional bag with the you know, the stuff in it that's better than what you'd get for sort of your playing in your backyard. The boards are different. Your boards are a specific type of wood, only one kind of wood. Can you walk us through the different models, the price points, and what your deals allow for your take?
Yeah, I would say when you're looking at an ACL Rec product for cornhole boards, you're looking at $100 and less, maybe 100 upwards to 150 could still be considered a rec board normally. On the bag side, if they're corn bags, they're definitely rec bags. But typically, you know, you can go out and buy a really cheap set of cornhole bags, or what we would call ACL rec bags, for anywhere around $20 or less. Then when you're moving up to the competitive level board wise, you'll see prices $250 to $350. Our competitive bags will start around $40 a set. You'll see some go upwards of $80 for a set of four bags, not eight, but just a set of four. And then on the ACL Pro level side, we actually have four bags selling for as much as $150. And then our ACL Pro boards sell for around $500. And our licensing model, we're making anywhere from 5% to 15%, depending on the stamp and the volume that licensee drives for us.
And if I'm playing,
think about that. Think about that. This is such a great, I love this business model. And who would have thunk?
And just so I understand, so if I'm playing in one of the kind of the many, many hundreds of rec leagues you're talking about around the country, I also have to be doing so on one of these tiers of boards that you guys are licensing. Is that right?
Yeah. So on the board side, we've been less stringent on, and we're rolling out more board requirements as we evolve. Right. There was already an existing infrastructure of cornhole boards out there that directors were using to run events. But what we did start out is we did mandate that you have to use ACL licensed bags and ACL points events. So the majority of our 61 licensees are manufacturing cornhole bags, and they're evolving those bags. And we've approved, I think, close to 400, 450 different types of series of bags out there right now. So there's a plethora to choose from in the cornhole bag world. And when you come out to one of our events, you see people pulling these Zooka cases that are filled with multiple sets of cornhole bags. And based on the current board conditions, our pros will pull out a certain set of bags that fit the board conditions.
So if it's humid, you want something different than if it's super dry and super hot or cold?
Yeah. because humidity has a big impact on how fast or slow the boards will play.
One of the things that I do remember from watching some of the cornhole on ESPN is just how incredibly good these players are, right? It looks nothing like the cornhole game that me and my friends would play during a tailgate or something. It's pretty amazing how talented they are.
Yeah, it is. And it's really cool to come out and see in person, and the intensity around the broadcast court, since everyone is sitting right kind of on top of the players, and the players, you know, you'll see them a lot of times are wearing AirPods to try to drown out the noise and what the crowd's saying to them and listening to music. But if they don't have those in, they're hearing the announcers, they're hearing everything that the crowd says to them. And as we do these celebrity events with like NFL players and things like that, that's one of the things they comment on most, is that, wow, these fans are really on top of you, and versus, you know, throwing a football in an NFL stadium where you're just hearing basically white noise around you, let's say. You know, you're hearing exactly what the people are calling you and saying about you.
It kind of sounds to me like professional darts in some ways, right? Where everybody I know who's gone to, especially in overseas in the UK, goes to a professional darts event. They say the crowd involvement and the kind of the proximity to the players who are playing makes it a really awesome live event experience.
Yeah, I think darts is a great, the UK darts and the way the crowd gets into those events is something that we certainly strive to create, that kind of atmosphere around our events.
We're chatting with Stacey Moore, the commissioner of the American Cornhole League. And Stacey, one of your former companies was called, Tailgating Ventures. And I think it's smart. You stumble into something, even if it didn't work, you get a new derivation. When I go to NFL events, I think the best part of the day is the tailgate. Like you figured out, and the NFL, by the way, you know, the granddaddy of them all, the NFL was also now trying to figure out how to monetize tailgate. They realized it's extra time that you can touch point with your customers. So I thought that was a brilliant move. Can you give us a kind of a scale of where your revenue is now and a historical track, where it was, where it is, what your growth prospects look like?
We're doing well.
Hockey stick well, straight line up well. How well are we doing?
We're definitely straight lining up. We actually probably have a hockey stick model that is actually working for a startup company, right? Most startup companies that I've been involved in that always had the predictions of the hockey stick. The hockey stick never really worked. So I think this is one of the ones it's been amazing growth. Like I said, both on the sponsorship side and the license revenue side is what's been a great driver for us. We are cash flow positive, and profitable and growing.
If you have a sense on data, how many Americans play cornhole in a given year? I'd love to know kind of how popular it is.
Yeah.
Look at Eben thinking small. He just wants Americans. I'm thinking around the world. He's thinking also Americans.
Yeah. Basically I like to answer this question with how many people are out there tailgating. Almost everyone tailgating is playing cornhole at some level. So we still have a long way to go, right? We've only got around 200,000 active players in our database. And we figure there's probably, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 million people that have picked up a cornhole bag at some point in time in their life. So we still have a long way to go and a lot of equipment to sell people. We believe that the equipment market, if we do this sport right internationally, could approach $1 billion, you know, within the next 5 to 7 years, which would be pretty nice size.
Yeah, I love that you just said our database. More and more companies now are understanding their customer data better and utilizing it in myriad ways. What do you know about your customers, and how do you generate revenue from what you're gleaning from the data that you collect?
Yeah, so we're really, you know, one of our, if I would say we have a weakness or something that we haven't really focused on to date because we've just been growing so much organically, is that we really haven't developed a proactive marketing plan to really dissect our customers and create a marketing strategy to really attack that. But I think we're getting to that point right now. And so we are starting to segment and say, you know, who are our customers? Who's our target? You know, this customer is buying this level of equipment. You know, we're trying to get to that point so we can be a lot more aggressive in our marketing approach. So I would say our core customer is the everyday American that middle income, just loves to play cornhole with their family. We do have quite a broad range, though. Our youngest pro is 12 years old. Our oldest is 65. We have people from all walks of life. We have an Asian female player that has a PhD, and you know she could be playing cornhole next to someone that doesn't have a high school degree. So it's really kind of all over the map, and that's really one of the cool things about cornhole is that.
What's your gender breakdown? That's everyone. What's your gender breakdown? Does it skew male?
It definitely skews male. So out of our 256 pros, 32 of them are female. Our television audience is about 75% male, 25% female. So we're definitely skewing male and focused on continuing to grow the female side of our business and our sport.
Is there a group that you look at around the sports world that has a model that you are cribbing from or looking at as really interesting? Is it PGA? Is it USTA? Who do you look at around the world and say that's a business model that I like that I might want to borrow from?
Yeah, so I definitely borrowed a lot from the USTA. I grew up a competitive tennis player in the USTA system, so I was very familiar with that and thought that cornhole had a lot of similarities in terms of, hey, we got people of all kinds of different skill levels. We got to figure out how to break those groups up and create peer-to-peer competitions. And so we've been able to do that with our point system and our power rankings pretty successfully. And so but the USTA, golf, bowling, I look a lot at. Even the UFC I've taken some things from as well. So love to learn from all the other sports that have been out there doing a lot longer than me.
Now, Stacey, I know I'm going to be way ahead on this question. I know that. But just please entertain me. But rainy days, global competition, what about cornhole in the metaverse? Like, I could see virtual competitions,
yes.
You know, me versus somebody in China, me versus somebody in Europe. You don't necessarily have to be on the beach or right there playing with each other. I could definitely see that working.
Absolutely.
Am I insane?
No, you're not insane at all. And it's something that we're definitely, I've already started thinking about. We're actually have a video game that's supposed to be launching very soon on the major platforms. So hopefully that gets out sooner than later. And then we're going to look at conquering the metaverse.
I love it. What about setting up like a league team structure, selling individual franchises? Are we looking at that?
Yeah. So we did run a teams competition for the first time this season. We had an actual draft. We had a 2-day draft. And so we did our, a teams model and concept, and, we're going to be expanding on that for next season. We really liked, how it went. And, I've looked and I saw what the big three did with NFTs that I thought was really interesting. So whether we go the franchise route or NFT route, I certainly see that for cornhole teams in the near future.
What's Eben going to have to pay for a team? There you go. What's Eben going to have to pay you for a team?
I don't know. Somewhere more than a dollar, probably less than 10 million.
Wide range. How much do you play, Stacey? How many bags do you throw in a given week?
Oh, man. In a given week, zero. I might get a game or two in during a month. I don't play a ton. I like to play for fun, play recreationally. I'll try to get, the pros to spot me like 19 points to see if I can get to 21 before them, and that rarely happens. Although I did get our analyst, Trey Ryder, he spotted me 15 one time, and I did get him. So that's my signature win of the year as I beat our ESPN analyst, Trey Ryder.
And I see behind you, by the way, you've got a North Carolina State and a South Carolina branded cornhole boards behind you. I imagine that's also a big part of the licensing business you're doing is, you know, cross licensing with professional teams. And I would think particularly big college programs in terms of doing boards and bags that bear their logos as well.
Yeah, we've just been able to get into the licensing game with Learfield and rolling out our college licenses. And since I went to NC State in South Carolina, I definitely have those boards proudly displayed behind me and wanted to make sure that we got those licenses first.
Was that Chris Corciani, Rodney Monroe? Like those, that's the big NBA, sure. Like the Fire and Ice, right?
Yeah, those are my college years, Fire and Ice.
All right, I played against Tom Gugliotta in high school. What does that mean to you? Nothing.
Oh, huh? Yeah,
Tommy Googs. G was pretty good. Yeah, he Googs was pretty good.
One of my
good.
Favorite Wolfpack players of all time, no doubt.
He's a Long Island boy. States, let me ask you this. I ask almost, you know, all commissioners, founders, this question. What keeps you up at night?
Oh, man. Really what keeps me up at night is some type of pro player controversy. You know, we haven't had the Tiger Woods effect for our sport, and that's something that I really want to see happen for us. At some point in time, I know that for us to elevate our sport to the next level, we're going to have, you know, well-known international superstars to carry us to the next level. So identifying or figuring out how that's going to happen organically is one of the things that keeps me up at night quite a bit. As you can imagine, most of our players still have full-time jobs. They didn't grow up like a lot of people who become NFL players or NBA players that start getting educated on how to be, quote, professional, you know, as early as junior high with a lot of these guys, right? They, you know, they're starting to get groomed and trained on how to act professionally, how to attract sponsors and those types of things. And so we're going through that, you know, painful process with a lot of these players in real time.
I was going to ask you, Stacey, if I was the best cornhole player in the world, and forgive me, I don't know his name or her name, what does my compensation structure look like? How much am I making from both competing in events and winning them and also from a sponsorship standpoint? What's the opportunity there financially for me?
Yeah, so some of our top players this past year were able to crack, you know, the $100,000 mark in terms of sponsorships. And then, let's say, player-wise, they'll make anywhere from 50 to 150 grand probably during the season, kind of in our top 20% of our players. But that's something that I feel like, you know, given the stature that we have and for our prize pools to be where they are, I mean, that's something that we need to significantly increase. My goal is obviously for all of our 256 pros to be able to play cornhole full time. I'd like to see that, but we got to exponentially increase our prize pool for that to happen.
A lot of leagues these days, upstarts, niche leagues, they rely on influencers, celebrities to sort of drive awareness. And who would I know? Who's the biggest celebrity or influencer who helps out the world of cornhole?
I would say the biggest name that has caught the biggest buzz has been the biggest bug, I would say, cornhole bug, has been Shamar Moore. Shamar Moore and David Lim from the cast SWAT on CBS.
Moore? I would have said, like, yeah. This is how old and tired I am in the demographic. I would have said Shamar Moore from Criminal Minds.
Yeah, from Criminal Minds. Yeah,
yeah. I watched it.
So, right. So he, you know, he transformed his backyard into a mecca called Airmail City, where he has three sets of boards and they're constantly playing cornhole out there. He's had a lot of pros out there helping him sharpen his game. And so he's been one of the bigger names that on a consistent basis is out there playing. And then during our Super Hole events, you know, we've got Doug Flutie, who won our Super Hole 2 last year. He'll be coming in and defending his title in Super Hole 3 here this Friday. He's going to be going up against Jay Cutler in the first round, who won our Chicago event. And so we're going to have Flutie versus Cutler here at Super Hole. We've got Mike the Situation from Jersey Shore, who's going to be down here playing. We've got Flavor Flav is going to be emceeing the event. So the way that we cross over with celebrity and other sports, even during the pandemic, we had like a lot of baseball players, and other athletes that were at home, right? They started doing trick shots. And so like we were doing trick shot videos with them on a regular basis and interacting with them. But we're seeing, you know, and you may recall the NBA players were playing cornhole in the bubble, you know, back then. So that's one of the really cool things about our sport is that we have a natural crossover with other celebrities and other athletes and other professional sports. That is something that I realized early on was unique and very powerful. And with our Super Bowl series, we're starting to take full advantage of that.
Eben, you ready for my free advice portion of the show? Well, you don't have to pay me for this, AC. No, I saw yesterday that the Amazon is utilizing these fellas in like the alternative NFL broadcast. It sounds like when you're talking trick shots and things, I'm waiting to see Dude Perfect in cornhole. Like you want to vote my son, and you got to get the Dude Perfect dudes in there trying some stuff.
That must have already happened.
There's been talks about it. I think for whatever reason, financial was preventing that from happening. But hopefully
I like that something gap financial. Here's the something financial. They wanted a lot of money, and you didn't want to pay a lot of money. That's the something financial part right there.
Maybe not that I didn't want to pay it. I couldn't afford to pay it at the time.
I like the at the time qualifier. Very good. Stace, we know you're busy at headquarters. Can you do us a favor? Can you rotate your camera there on your computer? Like the action's really on the other side of you, just to let everybody see what's going on right there. How many folks you have there, like chucking bags?
Yeah, so our headquarters right here in Rock Hill, we actually built a 14-court kind of showcase area here at the ACL HQ for people to come. And what's happening right now is people are already playing sit-and-go tournaments. So they're paying $20 to enter a single elimination tournament. You know, the winner is going to win a couple hundred bucks and be able to buy beer for the rest of the day. But the HQ is already packed here at 11 a.m. Open their doors at 9, and down here in Rock Hill, they start at 9. They'll probably end at midnight tonight.
Well, I love it. Now, what I'll be doing at midnight tonight is, because you got my craving, I'm going to get some Johnsonville brats. How about you, Eben? That's what I'm in the mood for right now.
Excellent.
I think I'm going to get the Busch beer. We'll do both of them.
I'm on my way. Happy to do it. All right, Stacy Moore, Commissioner of the American Cornhole League. Thanks so much for taking some time, Stacy. We do appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, Eben, I wasn't kidding. Like, I'm suddenly in the mood for sausage. And, you know, out of deference to our guest, he gave us some time. I'll go get a Johnsonville. That's fine by me. But, a little Busch beer and Johnsonville brat sounds like an okay day to me.
A really fascinating business model, Scott.
Isn't it? I told you.
Yeah, part of it, the licensing stuff is great. Also, the idea, he hinted at it right at the end there, you know, quick little $20 to enter single elimination tournaments. It almost sounds like the real tangible version of what esports is doing in a lot of ways, right? These quick hitters, anyone can enter, someone's going to win a lot of money. I think it's from the bottom up, from the grassroots level that he's talking about, all the way up through the 250 or 260 pros that he's talking about. It's a really interesting business model that is, you know, as I said, they're kind of part professional sports league and then part sport governing body as well.
I would take the licensing model. He talked about the Learfield NCAA deal, like with the schools. I would take it, drill it down a little more. I would have individual competitions at universities, and I would also license to fraternities and sororities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a specific fraternity brand or sorority brand for that tournament. I love the licensing business. I love this. I thought it was so interesting the first time I talked to Stacy in New York, and then to see it on ESPN, to see the growth has been pretty neat. So glad we had him on.
Agreed. And yeah, who knows what the future is? Is there cornhole in the Olympics in 20 years? We'll see what the growth happens.
All right, I'll do the closing because you didn't seize the opportunity. So clearly, you're like, let me do it. I can see it. All right, he is Eben Novy Williams on the Twitter, Novy_Williams. I am Scott Sashnick on Twitter @Sashnick. Matt Whitehurst is our producer. Thank you very much, Matt. Our digital media editor is Cora Veltman. This is where you stumble sometimes, Eben. She likes it when we remind you that the show can be found at Sportacast, which is the hub of what will, capital big S-O-O-N, become the Sportico Media Network.
The
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.